Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest. Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, my witchy poo, ooh, how are you? You like that extra ooh every once in a while.
I got extra oohs today.
You like the extra oohs. You get an extra ooh.
I'm good. How are you?
How are you, woo woo? I am good. You know, still sticking to keto for those keeping score at home. I think it has turned from a diet to a lifestyle. So that's very encouraging. And
good for you.
Yeah. And want to give another shout out to Allison Noel, who introduced me to Magic Spoon cereal because I love it so much. She and I were just on the phone yesterday, and I don't know how many times I've told her how much I love it, but we both got the email from Magic Spoon about how you can create your own box now. And we're both like a Twitter about it. So it's the little things in life, right? It's just the little
that
things that get
awesome.
You excited.
And plus, you know, my crafty elf needs a creative project on the regular.
Right? I need something to keep my poor little head going. Otherwise, it just goes on to all the wrong places. So, you know, we've talked a bit on a few previous episodes about NDEs, and that's the acronym for near-death experience for those, again, keeping score at home.
And we get a lot of comments about them, too.
We do, right? And so it's kind of about
time. Wanted to give you guys some space.
Yeah. So I think it was fine time for us to dedicate an entire episode to this topic.
There's so many amazing things about this topic. We have so much to be grateful for because so much of what we initially learned about the transition process comes from people who've been messengers here, who've gone forward and then came back to tell us their experience. So really valuable, really insightful, and I think inspiring.
Yeah.
From people who, you know, technically jumped the planet and jumped back.
And I
or
think,
got kicked back.
Right, or got kicked back. And some of them that actually chose, I'm going to call them brave.
Yeah.
And these travelers to this other dimension that come back to tell their tales have most definitely helped us and have changed, you know, lives. And we're going to talk about some of those people today.
Yeah, and usually their own, mostly.
And actually, it is usually their own. But, you know, you can't, until you heal yourself, you can't even begin to help other people heal.
True.
Right? And so they had to come back to heal themselves in order to help others.
And they got another shot.
Right? They got in golf what's called a mulligan, which means you hit a shitty shot off the tee box and you're like, ooh, I'm going to take a mulligan. Now, you don't do that in tournament play, but you can do that when you're out messing around with your friends. Like, oh, I'm just going to take, it's like a do-over. So they got a mulligan.
Does that count as a shot?
Not if you're playing with your friends.
Okay.
No, it's a damn do-over.
I don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
I have no friends.
Apparently, you just don't play golf. By the way, I play golf for the first time in a decade. Last weekend.
How was it?
Well, I had to use lavender on my body because I was in pain. I had moved in ways that I had not moved before, but I played with Cubby and Rhonda in a scramble. It was a fundraiser for the Susan G. Komen Foundation.
Nice.
And I have to tell you, there was one tee shot I had that you could tell I used to be really good.
Oh, that's great.
Just one.
That's great, one shot though.
You could tell, like, oh, she might have been pretty good in her day. Yeah, it was fun, though. I can't believe it was fun. It was fun.
Enough to take it back up again?
Take it back up is a bit of extreme.
Okay. I was just wondering.
That's extreme. Every once in a while, I don't mind.
One and done. That's
one
awesome.
And done, yeah. Anyway.
Good for another 10 years.
Yeah, that's right. So mulligan, yeah. So these people get another shot. And
they get a spiritual mulligan.
They get a spiritual mulligan. That's what this episode should be called, spiritual mulligan. They'd be like, what the hell is that? Is that some Irish drink, a spiritual mulligan? So I'm just going to start out by saying I was first introduced to NDEs from a friend. And I didn't even know what it was called at the time. And Many of you, I hope, are familiar with Mona. In fact, Mona is the reason why Suzanne and I met Ruben and Jimmy, which is how we got to meet Brenda. So, you know, she had a job.
It all goes back to Mona.
And everything, yeah. And that's the only way she'll have it, by the way. Everything has to go back to
True
Mona.
That.
And I know that bitch is going to show up because I'm telling stories. And when you talk about Mona, she likes to show up. So,
she does like
so
to show
I
up.
Will tell the story of Mona and let me know if she corrects me at any point in time. Are you getting hot over there? Yeah, she's there. She normally likes to bang stuff around, though. Like, don't you remember she was messing with your cabinets that one time?
Oh, my God. No. So far, so good.
Okay, good. All right. So, Mona. I'm going to... Mona. If you say Mona three times, she'll show up.
So for any of you.
For anybody. Anybody say Mona, and she'll be right there in front of you.
Oh, my God.
And she's blonde.
And then you'll get really hot.
By the way. And get heated, because, boy, that vibe. Her vibe was high before she jumped the planet, and it only got higher when she left. But what?
Okay, so
go ahead.
I know Helen Reddy means something to you, but did it mean something to Mona?
Probably. Didn't she just
She's
jump?
Got a red dress, and she's singing something by Helen Reddy.
Oh, that's
Is that Helen
funny.
Reddy? It's a red dress. What? Who's got a song
Are you sure
a red
it's not
dress?
Stevie Nicks she's singing to me?
I don't know.
Because
she's got a red dress on.
I bought her, because Mona's very talented. She's a great singer and a piano player.
She was a singer?
Oh, yeah. Great. Beautiful voice.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. And she had a piano room. It was all white.
I know she played piano.
Yeah, in the all white room, and she would sing. And every time she would have parties, and she, of course, would be at piano, behind the piano singing. That's where Ruben and I first met, because I was making fun of Mona in front of everyone. And so he fell in love with me at that moment. But I would always request, I'm like, can you play me some Stevie Nicks, like some Landslide, something? Mm-hmm. And she didn't have any of the music, so I bought her the song
okay,
book.
So this is what she's doing, though. She's got this red dress on and she's spinning, but that's a Stevie,
that's Stevie Nicks,
Nicks thing.
Yeah.
That's
the cover of one of her albums.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Mona.
That's her little shout out to
that's
you.
Right, that's right. It's, this is called the Mona Show. So I learned about NDEs from Mona. This is going to be the longest episode ever because Mona's going to keep interrupting us. But I first learned about NDAs, that's funny, non-disclosure agreements, about NDEs from Mona. And she told this story when she was in her mid-20s. She was in a wheelchair. She was very sick. I still don't know what she was sick from. I had heard different versions, which is very Mona, magnesium deficient. I don't know what the hell it was. But the reality is that she was in the hospital and she died. She jumped. And the way that she tells the story is when she did leave her body, she was up in the corner of the room and she was looking down and she could see. You're nodding your head because apparently Mona's telling you so far I'm getting it right. And she could see like her head hinge open and all this like ribbons of yellow or probably gold going into her top of her head. And when she came back, when she came back into her body and she woke up, she said, she goes, I knew things that I shouldn't know. And because she did, Mona was somebody who could tell you about the five great religions and she had never cracked a book. Never. In fact, Mona never cracked a book, literally. Moving around the planet was not her gift, because Mona's the one who thought that you made French toast with a toaster. Just so everybody knows. But she knew things that she shouldn't know.
There was things that that didn't have anything to do with navigating the earth plane. Like, she wasn't great in earth school. She was good at being a high vibe human.
Very good at that.
Right.
She was extraordinary at that.
Yeah.
But she was, so she would help
and
people.
And she loved it.
Oh, God, she loved it.
Loved it. She loved being heard the second time around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so she had
I don't know so much about the first time.
I don't think the first time was
like
awesome.
I don't think she's like nothing memorable, nothing important, nothing until I got the second chance.
The second chance. Right. And that's when everything changed for her. And
well, everything became meaningful. Everything became purposeful. Everything was just a ball.
And in every moment that she existed, you know, in between the first time she jumped and the second time, which was permanent, I think she really relished in every one of those moments. And she really relished in helping people. Like, she really was serving people in her way. You know, she was the one that everybody came to for help and assistance. And she had, you know, a network of people all over the world that adored her because she was one who deserved to be adored. And all of that is what had changed from her. I actually think that what Mona was claircognizant. I think that she would just download information.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah,
I think she was to a whole pool that would help her. Yeah, but she says that she still got mad sometimes.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's still human.
She wants to make sure you don't make her a saint.
Oh, Saint Mona! Come on, she's already a saint. She's Saint Mona. So, yeah, she was extraordinary, but she was oh God, in a body, she was amazing. Without a body, yeah, she's even more amazing. But yeah, she introduced me to a lot of things, and this was probably one of the most powerful things. And we used to joke when people would come over, you know, just to hang out. This is obviously pre-pandemics, because she was always over at her house. We lived 12 houses down from her, which she called the ghetto, just so everybody knows. Same street, just 12 houses down somehow was the ghetto to her. And we would warn people when they walk in the house, like, be careful, just so you know. We would say, Mona can read your beads when you walk in the door. And people are like, what do you mean, read your beads? They're like, you'll understand. And so they would come over to the house and Mona would do her little zzzzzz and like read their beads and know exactly who they were and what was going on. And lo and behold, every single time she would drag somebody into the dining room and have a private chat. Yeah. But that was Mona. So that was how I first even knew what this was, is that it was mm-hmm. someone near and dear and beloved who, you know, lived not in the ghetto. That was a joke. She's talking to you, isn't she?
Yeah, sorry. She's distracted. Mona, you got to back up, babe. I'm going to be a terrible co-host.
Saint Mona. What the hell? What'd she say? Is it good?
Well, she was actually telling me a little bit about when she checked out. Mm. She was just saying that while she was aware of her body, like kind of watching it, but really just very, very disinterested in it. And so it was kind of a detached sort of situation. And then it wasn't necessarily given the chance to not come back.
No, she did. She never said that. She never said that she was given it. She was kind of forced back. I do remember her saying she didn't want to. I remember her. She did not want to come back. I remember her saying she didn't want to.
But it wasn't a choice for her.
Correct.
She's very clear. She's like, no, see that body that we're keeping you in touch with? Like, because they let her watch it the whole time, which is not, my understanding of NDEs is that's not how it usually happens. Usually it's completely separate. Boom, you're someplace else. You've got other things going on. And then they're you're like, no, that again.
And then you come back.
But they kept her in touch, like visually connected to her body, because somehow that was important for her, because otherwise she wasn't going to go back in.
Oh, that's
sorry.
Really,
I'm hitting things, you guys. I'm running.
That's really interesting, though. I didn't. I knew the part of her saying that she remembers coming in. She didn't want to. I remember her saying that.
Wasn't that interested in it? But it was clear from the start. Like, hey, don't get used to this because you're going back in.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Mona, Saint Mona.
Saint Mona, we're going to have you back up because really I'm supposed to be saying something somehow.
Or because, actually, why don't we take a break?
Thank you.
We will take a psychic break right now and we'll be right back. All right, everybody, we are back from our psychic break and I think Brenda is back in her body with us. I think Saint Mona has left the building.
Shall not be named.
Oh, right, we can't say her name three times. You guys can, but we can't. And then don't forget to click your heels.
Goodness.
But now, how weren't you? You were introduced to NDEs from a really young age, right?
I wouldn't say I was introduced. No one said, "Hey, this is an NDE. Want to take a ride?" It wasn't like that at all. We were at Lake Pewaukee, or Pewaukee Lake, I think is what they call it, in Wisconsin. And so I am under the age of 5. I'm the third sibling, and my mom is watching us on the beach. And, you know, her story, I was little and I remember being in the lake, you know, and it was one of those great lakes for kids because it was shallow for a really long time before it got deep. So I'm out and she said she saw me and she saw some bigger kid, but they, you know, didn't seem to be bothering me. And then all of a sudden she looked again and she saw the bigger kid, but she didn't see me. And so she's scanning for me, can't find me. And so she ran towards this kid. Who knows how far away she was? My mom was really fast, though. But, so from my end, I just remember like this kid being there, and like he just pushed me. Like I don't remember anything else, but he just pushed me, and I was little enough that I went down on my back. Like he pushed me back into the water, and I was just laying on the bottom of the lake, which wasn't that far down. Like it wasn't like, you know, I floated for feet. No, I mean it was just right there, and I'm watching the water. And I'm watching the, you know, how light is with water and it's making, you know, beautiful shadows and light and sparkling. And then, boom, it was just white light. everything changed. And I was like, what's happening? What's going on? And I'm just laying there on the bottom of the lake. It's not like I couldn't have stood up. I just wasn't interested in it, really.
You have been waiting for that moment since then.
Under the age of five, I was already like, get me out of here. And the next thing I know, my mom's hand is pulling me out of the water. Like pulling me. I'm spitting. I'm coughing. I'm like, you know, throwing up water. And she's, you know, screaming at some kid while she carries me out of the lake.
So that was kind of like you were at the, let's call it, could it be the gates of an NDE? Like, because kind of, if you see the light, it's kind of an NDE. You didn't go through, you know, because what typically happens, right, is like a life review, but you were very young. There was no life to review.
Notice her discounting my life.
A
3-year-old.
Who has a lot? Exactly. I'm not discounting your life. This is not a whole lot of experience. So you didn't do wrong to any valet.
You'd be surprised.
Guys.
I was spunky.
I bet you were.
You know, all I remembered was the white light. That's what I remembered. I didn't remember meeting a guide or meeting anyone, but I remember that.
The bright light
and feeling very, very calm, very serene. Like I was aware
that. Yeah, you were like right there. Like if your mom didn't grab you.
Oh, poof. Yeah.
Yeah. Like within seconds, probably. Like if you saw the light, that was seconds away. Yeah.
So that was my introduction, but I didn't know.
Well, we're very glad that Sandy grabbed you because you're here with us now. So thank you, Sandy.
She's on it.
So one of the most famous NDE stories is from a gentleman named Danian Brinkley. And he's written several books, but it was his first book, which is like his origin story. Because again, how many times can I bring that up? But his origin story, but what he does, he describes his ordeal in great detail, and it's called Saved by the Light. So this isn't a book club episode. It might sound like one, but this story. I remember the first time I read it, I think my eyes were like out of my head the entire time I was reading this book. So it sounded unbelievable.
It's such a great story. I love this story. And didn't you tell me that Fox did a piece on this, a movie?
Yes, they did make a movie about him. Well done, my culturally acute witchy crew.
Hey, this is my lane. I understand. I remember things like that.
That's true.
I don't know who Outlander is. I mean,
no, you don't.
I don't.
You don't. But you know who Danny is. Yes. So,
and he's on the cover of your book.
That's right. Danny actually read my book.
Yeah.
And he had called and he's like, you know, you're the real deal.
So sweet.
I know, how sweet, right?
Yeah, really sweet.
And the funny thing is, I don't know if I told you this part yet, so I saved it for on air, is the only input he gave me is he said, take motherfucker out of your book. And because, you know, my first version of it, I had motherfucker in there several times. So I took motherfucker out and I took a couple fuckers out. But that was his recommendation. He didn't say, he said, don't take them all. Just take the motherfucker out. I'm like, oh, fine.
There
so I
go.
Took motherfucker out of my book there because of Danny Brinkley. So Danny, before Danny's incident, you know, he was a self-proclaimed asshole. He's, you know, in fact.
I love how he owns it and he doesn't back off of it. He doesn't qualify it. He's like, check. That's what I want.
He was a drinker, he was a womanizer. He was kind of a douche. And he was just an a-hole. And, you know, I think he lived somewhere in the middle of the country, Tennessee. I don't know where he was, but he was somewhere in the middle. And I mean, I'm in the middle, so I'm not insulting it. And there was one night, there was a big storm. And I believe he was on the phone. Mm-hmm. Let's say he was on the phone with his mother. That sounds good. And
I think he was on the phone with his brother because he said, mom always said, don't be on the phone during a thunderstorm.
Oh, there you go. See, that's where I got the mom part from. It's been a while since I read it.
It's okay.
And I've had multiple copies and I have none right now. So it's obviously one of my number one books to apparently give away. So this night he's on the phone with his brother and they talked about electrical storms and how not to be on the phone. And what do you know? The electric pole got hit by lightning. And what was so interesting is when his wife walked into the room after the lightning struck, she saw him midair. So could you imagine walking to in a room and seeing your husband floating? I mean, he was in the air, like he was thrown out of his chair. In fact, he was not only just thrown out of his chair, he was thrown out of his boots. So this guy, he had work boots on. The current was so powerful that it melted the nails that kept the sole on his boots, melted it into the floor. So he flew out of his boots with melted nails.
Jesus.
Right?
I just can't imagine. And she came in saying, whew, that was a close one. to see that.
To see that.
Just complete trauma. Complete trauma.
Exactly. Yeah. They call an ambulance, get him to the hospital. I think his friend was following the ambulance and, you know, they tried to revive him. They pronounced him dead. And then I think it was roughly about 30 minutes. Tell me if I'm wrong
that.
I think
right.
It was roughly about 30 minutes later, he woke up with a sheet over his body on a gurney in the morgue.
But he was in so much pain, he couldn't, right, because his body was completely trashed.
It was fried.
Right.
His body was fried.
Yeah, his body was fried, and he couldn't move anything. So he just happened to be lucky enough that someone was around his body, and he blew the sheet to get their attention because they saw the sheet move.
Right.
Like, I mean, then you get so close to, like, making it and not making it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and even to this day, Danny really struggles with heart issues because he's actually jumped a few times since.
Right, because his body was so damaged.
Yeah, and it's his heart that is so badly damaged. Right. I actually have a friend I used to work with that's very close friends with him, and would talk to him regularly. And there were several times in the last 5 years that he had been really struggling.
But what's great about this story is it's totally accessible. It's a relatively short story. And it's really, really accessible, just like giving you some bites of what this is like on the other side. And, you know, what he experienced is this extraordinary peacefulness and beauty and healing available. He got all kinds of information and loving support. And this is what we're always talking about that is waiting for you on the other side. So that's why it's so wonderful to have these experiences with these stories, for you to read them and experience them yourselves. He talks about specifically there was one angelic being that showed him holding a box that had 12 different boxes in it. And these boxes all spoke very specifically, kind of like road markers, things to pay attention to, that unfolded on a global level. And they were economic and political and cultural and technical breakthroughs and healing breakthroughs. Like, these are things.
Environmental things,
right,
like
environmental
that.
Environmental things that said, you know, don't forget about this. Keep focused on this. And then he was given very specific instructions for himself of what, you know, his role was to play in all this. Mostly what these global incidents said, that these are all intertwined. We are so connected on the earth plane, and we don't play that way. I think probably in his previous life, he did not play that way, right? Before he got struck by lightning, he played his lane only without figuring out that everything was interconnected. He saw all these things that were about to unfold. And then when he returned, he saw them all unfold, reaffirming what they showed him and what they told him to help him live at this higher level. It was amazing.
And I think a lot of those things did come true.
Oh, they unfolded completely. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Yeah. And I think one of the things, because Danny was a guy who, he was a military guy for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that they asked him to do, like one of his jobs on Earth, was to develop this kind of healing, I'm going to call it a bed, because I think he calls it a bed,
yes,
that helps soldiers with PTSD.
Right.
Like, that is part of what he was meant to do here.
Without a doubt. I just am so attracted to the story for so many reasons. But one of the reasons is that, you know, where I've focused a lot is in the energetic field of healing and you know, trying to learn as much as I can. And there are just a couple slices that I just wanted to share with you because I thought they were so moving from this. And I don't have the page numbers because I did it on the audio version, so I apologize. But this is Saved by the Light. And he said, through the vision, I had insights about the body, that we transmit electrical, spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical essences out to the world around us. And by learning to be in touch with our own electrical and biological selves, we can make ourselves higher beings who transmit the higher side of life. And I loved this so much because we're always telling you to keep your vibe high, you know, like, and like, there it was in this little bubble that said, yes, when we understand that we are spiritual, energetic, vibrational beings, and we can take accountability and learn to trust the guidance we get from our own physical bodies, because we are always sending energy out, which means we are always receiving energy as well. And when we get those messages from other beings, other places, and to trust it, like, it's so real. And so I just really want to share that with you.
I love that quote.
I know, it's so beautiful.
I love it so much.
And then the next one is when he was talking specifically about getting information for these healing beds. And he was told, this is what you'll do, and this is why it's important, but or this is, you know, how come it's important, and so we want you to create this. But he wasn't necessarily shown how to do it or how it would be used. But what he said is, I was shown the operating room of the future. There were no scalpels or sharp objects. Instead, all healing was done by special lights. And, you know, of course, this made, just because lights are frequency, they're vibration, right? So this got me so excited. Right? And he said, patients were given medications and exposed to these lights that change the vibration of the cells within the body. Every cell has a vibratory rate, said the being. When that rate changes, certain illnesses can take place. These lights return the diseased organs to their proper vibratory rate, healing whatever illnesses were plaguing it before. I love this quote that said, we can all, no matter what state your body's in, it can be restored, right? Now we need these magical lights, but you can also become a higher frequency, a higher vibration within you. So it just made me really hopeful.
It's very cool because there's, before Suzanne and I left Los Angeles, we went to go see Patricia Bankins at the Crystal Matrix. And in fact, Patricia was the last person we saw in California before we drove off. And Patricia had just had, I think it was this lovely couple from Peru, and they invented these healing tools, and they are in its light. These are light tools. So I have a set of these light tools, and there's different colors because you can actually change out. This isn't obviously what was going on for Danny at the time, but I'm just adding a little color commentary, is that you can change the lights because each of the colors hold a different vibration, right? That whether it's different, you know, types of cells or whether it's bone. Right, because there's different light colors that can help heal bone.
And remember,
cells.
This is why we have stained glass windows in churches. Right, because it used to be this is where people came to be healed. And so in the beginning, they weren't pictures of whatever they're pictures of, angels and Jesus and stars or whatever's in stained glass windows. They used to be panels across the ceiling that was, this is now bring in the people who need the red frequency. Now bring in people who need the green frequency. Like that's why we have stained glass windows, because our spiritual, you know, hierarchy were the healers.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's all frequency. We are all frequency, baby.
Learn something new every damn day. Okay, so with that, I'm going to do something highly unusual, and I'm going to say we need to take a break.
You are right. We need to take a break.
We'll be right back, y'all. All right, everybody, we are back talking about Danny Brinkley and Brenda. I mean, your story about when you were five is very intense, but Danny Brinkley wins.
You think?
I do. I mean, he had an angelic being show him 12 boxes of shit that's going to happen in the future, so he wins.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the work he's done, right? And how he, you know, spends so much time in hospice. Just the calm people have when they have an awareness, a palpable, tangible experience with the other side, they can bring calm to not only the person who's getting ready to make the transition, but also to the family members who are deep in grief. This is our invitation to you, really, is to be familiar with some of these NDE stories to help you imagine how you can become that high vibe he's inviting us into, how you can choose to know that the other side is with you and guiding you, and you are maneuvering with unconditional support, and that everything we worry about, well, it feels so real in the moment. And it is. We have to live in Earth School for sure. It's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay on some level. And when you take the long view of understanding the soul's evolution, that's part of the comfort.
And Danny tells the story for us to learn so we don't have to be struck by lightning.
Exactly.
I mean, like, there are those warriors, because I would call him like a spiritual warrior in this, like what that guy's had to go through in order to get where he is and to tell us about it. You know, we tell stories to either help people relate or to help them, you know, learn without them having to go through what we had to go through. And that's the gift that he gave all of us. So it's worth reading. It's worth like really spending time with. It's worth thinking about. It's worth, you know, really paying attention to what he did after his first NDE, where Brenda, you had just briefly mentioned, but he went and he worked in hospice. Like that's mm-hmm. what he did. Mm-hmm. He went and spent time with people and he helped them cross over.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to jump the planet and come back to claim your connection to the other side, to count on your angelic beings guiding you, protecting you, inspiring you, giggling with you, sometimes kicking you in the butt. you can claim that now with your loved ones that you're still grieving. Claim them now. Live this life in our school now with support and love from the other side.
And the high vibe.
And the high vibe. Keep the high vibe, because remember, without it, our school is hard.
Without the other side. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. And a special thanks to our producer, Maya Cole, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at OtherSideGuides or shoot us a note at OtherSideGuides@iHeartRadio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think, we want to know what you know, and we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.